have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that song, which is the heartbeat of my spirit. Amen. Give me a heart that is sacrificial. Hallelujah. A heart that is full of vows of compassion. A heart that shows great mercy. A heart that surpasses, my God, even all the things that would try to prevent me from walking in the love of God. The heart that is soft as a whisper. That is none other than my sister queen. Hallelujah. Minstrel. Anointed. Thank you, woman of God, for that song. It is indeed a prayer, I believe, for this hour that is most appropriate. And I love you and I bless the Lord for your ministry and what he is doing in you for the body of Christ. Well, listen, people of God, this is Shabbat Saturday. Today's date is December the 3rd, 2022. My God, today it is almost so close to a new year that we're walking in. We are in the last month of this last quarter. But there is a word of the Lord for his people on today. And I am so grateful for this platform, Shabbat Saturday, where we come together and just bless the name of the Lord. We worship him. We exalt his name in this space and this place. I indeed call it a virtual tabernacle. Hallelujah. The Shabbat Saturday. Father God, I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Father God, which art in heaven. We hallow your magnificent name. Hallelujah. Your great name. Your sovereign name. We bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were created to worship you and to render a praise, and we give a Shabbat on this day for your greatness, for your glory, and for who you are in our lives. The word says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. Hallelujah. We were created, hallelujah, by the Father as he has created all things, and by his will we exist, hallelujah, and we exist to worship him. Our life is a worship unto him. Our life is a love song unto him. Hallelujah. So I lift my hands. I bless his name. He is Elohim, glory to God, my creator, the creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He is the beginning and end of all things. Listen, there is nothing that exists that is not. Hallelujah. Him, the being the creator of it. He is the resource of, not the resource. He is the source. Yes, Holy Spirit, of all things. So we bless him on today, and we bless him indeed for the speaker of the hour in the name of Jesus, who is going to come forth and bring a Kairos word in your hearing on today. But I want to just thank you all for tuning in on this very special Shabbat Saturday. And as I mentioned to you, we have a very special guest with us on today. She is the executive director and founder of an organization, her and her esteemed husband, hallelujah, Bishop Peely, glory to God, of Ecclesia Family Worship Center, of Women on the Front Line, and of Ann Sheely Ministries. Woman of God, are you here?
Yes, I am here.
Glory to God. Thank you so much. We are so excited. Yes, excited because there is a great shaking in the heavenly realm, and you and I have been given this authority to speak, to say something, to Shabbat our awesome God, and as we are doing that on today and releasing this Kairos word, hallelujah, know that you are loved, hallelujah, know that the one who is the one and only true and living God, the one who sees your needs and provides for them, the one who is called our Lord and Master, the God Almighty, amen, the all-bountiful and all-sufficient one. He loves you with an everlasting love in the name of Jesus. So listening audience, on this day, buckle your seatbelts now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have the woman of God to come forth in her own way and open up the room with prayer according to the word that's in her belly in Jesus' name. Queen, my sister, Queen Ann Sheely, the mic is yours. Let the Lord use you mightily in Jesus' name.
Amen. I thank and praise the Father for this opportunity to come to you on this Saturday, Shabbat Saturday, and to be able to give you on this evening what the Lord will have me to give to you. I praise the Father for Apostle Westbrook and Elation Radio. I'm just thanking the Father for him continuously using you all to do his work and to do his will. And so today we just thank and we honor him on today. We magnify you on today, Father. We glorify you on today, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, O Father, for your word being released in our lives on today. We thank you for the power and the activity of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for anointing us to give and anointing your people to receive. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And we thank you, O God, that he didn't stay in the grave, but he rose again and sitting on the right hand of the Father, pleading and interceding for us, making intercession for us, our great high priest, our advocate. And we thank you, Father, for you love us so much that you continue to give us grace and mercy each and every morning. Oh, Father, and we bless your holy name today. We thank you, Father. We can't worship you enough. We can't praise you enough. We can't honor you enough. We can't magnify you enough today, God. But we glorify you on this day, Yahweh, for you are great and you are greatly to be praised. And we honor you today, God, and we thank you, oh God, for your people that are coming on, Father. We thank you, oh God, for keeping them, oh God, and we give you the glory and the honor today in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. Amen. Again, we just thank Apostle Westbrook for having us on today and for the work that she is doing for the kingdom of God. Woman of God, I just want to encourage you to keep on pressing, to keep on doing, continue to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in any capacity and any way that he deems necessary, that he sees fit to use you, to leave your footprint in the earth. And so we thank and praise the Father for you and your ministry. And so Amen. Today we are going to be talking about aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which is we're dealing with love on today. And so, and I'm going to be reading the scripture, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and also John, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 34th verse. But we want to start out talking about love on today. And we want to talk from the aspect to start off with, talking about the DNA of God, because many of us in the body of Christ, we seek for the anointing and we desire to be used by God and we desire to be to operate in the fullness of the anointing of Christ, and we look for the glory to come when God uses us and we want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. But I found out that we focus a lot on the gifts but not the fruit. And so today we want to talk about the DNA of God, because we cannot possess the DNA of God and not possess the love of God. Because love is the DNA of God. Love is who God is. Love is the substance of God. And so we have to, as we are entering into this time that we are in and this season that we are in the earth, where we see the everything that is going on in the earth realm, we see all the crime and we see all the activities and the powers of darkness that is holding and oppressing and have taken captive the minds of people and are using them in destructive ways in our systems, in our institutions, and in our governments to commit murder through the unborn child abortion and all of these things that we see going on in the earth. We have to understand that gifts are given, but fruit is grown. And so we are at a point now that we have to stop seeking after the gifts more than we do the fruit of the Spirit, because it is the love of God that calls God to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ,
on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we need to understand that even though we operate in the gift, now we are at a point in time, in a dispensation of time before Christ returns, that we have to begin to exercise and allow the activity of the Holy Spirit to operate through us, that our fruit can be identifiable, because it is love that goes for that, that pushes us. Love must be the driving force behind everything that we do, not our gifts, not our talent, not our skill, but love must be the driving force behind everything that we do. And so we, that, because that is the DNA of God. So now let's talk about for a minute the DNA. What is DNA? Let's just talk about that in the natural sense, DNA. If you look it up, it'll tell you that DNA, it is the molecule that carries hereditary material. It is how you are identified when you're born. It is how you are identified in the earth. It is the molecule that carries hereditary material. It is genetic information for the development and functioning of an organism. Each of us have a DNA. We have a DNA code. We have hereditary material. We have a genetic code. We have material that was passed down from our parents. We have material that was passed down from our grandparents to our parents that have been passed down to us. And so we need to understand that DNA is what it identifies you. It carries hereditary information about you and about your heritage and about your lineage and about your parents. Some of our parents have had diseases and blood pressure and different things, but within that hereditary material, it has trickled down to us. And so we possess some of the things that they carry because we came from them. We were born from them. And so we need to understand that even on a crime scene, they use DNA to place a criminal at the scene of a crime. It can be blood. It can be saliva. It can be different parts of us that composes of the DNA that says that we have been there, that the criminal has been there. They look for that part of you in the genetic code when they look at your DNA to see if that's you. When they are looking for a criminal, it causes you to be identified by what you left behind. That's what DNA is. It causes a person to be identified by what they left behind. And so when the investigators go to the crime scene, they are looking for DNA. They is looking for something to place the criminal at the scene of the crime. So I want to ask you on today, have you left any credible evidence in the earth to let somebody else know that the presence of God has been where you've been? Is there something on the inside of you? Do you contain any DNA that when they go to look for you, when they want to, when the enemy comes to press charges against you, and when he goes to put you before the courts of heaven, when he brings an accusation against you, is there any DNA that you have left behind that can say, yes, I'm guilty? You can charge me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty for possessing the love. I am guilty for possessing the DNA of God. Is there any credible evidence that says that when you were there, God was there? When you were at the grocery store, God was there, because you left the DNA of God behind that you carry on the inside of you? When you went to the church house, did you leave any DNA, any credible evidence that God has been there through you? Did you leave any DNA, anything that identifies you that says, I exemplify the love of God, and you can charge me as being guilty because I carry the DNA and I left the evidence behind? Oh, God, the DNA of God. It is DNA. It is passed down to to us from our parents. So we cannot say that we belong to God, but yet we don't have love in our hearts, because once we have been born again, the Bible said Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be born again, because we were born through the first Adam. We were born in sin, shame, and iniquity. And God said that won't work. You got to be born again. You have to come through the womb of the Spirit. You came through the womb of your mother. But now, in order for you to inherit eternal life, now in order for you to look like me, and now in order for you to act like me, now in order for you to live like me, now in order for you to love like me, you must come through the womb of the Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born of the Holy Spirit. And so when we are born again, our Heavenly Father, He passes down a new DNA into us. He transfers a new DNA. He transfers a DNA that does not possess any sickness, any disease, any genetic information that malfunctions, that is composed of iniquity and sin. But when God transfers and gave us Himself to live on the inside of us by way of the Holy Spirit, He gave us His DNA, and everything in God's DNA, it is full and complete. And so because when we receive the DNA of God by being born through the womb of the Spirit, when we receive the DNA, the hereditary material, the genetic information that says that you belong to God, now I can say that I possess the fruit of the Spirit. So now the scripture says in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is the first one. It mentions love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It is meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the word of the Lord is telling us, when we get the DNA of God, when we get the hereditary material, the genetic information that God passes down to us from Him, we possess, we get within our new DNA the fruit of the Spirit. And just because it may not be apparently evident, just because your fruit is not, you may not be walking in the full measure of love. I may not be walking in the full measure of joy. I may not be walking in the full measure of long suffering, of gentleness, but it does not negate the fact that it is there. And so love must be active and intentionally worked out and worked on. In order for our love, our fruit to grow, and so that it is evident in our life, it must be active and intentionally worked on and worked out. In other words, you got to be intentional about loving people, because sometimes it may not seem easy to love people. Sometimes it may not seem easy when people have hurt you, when they have wounded you, when they have persecuted you, when they have lied on you, when they have drug your character and your name through the mud. It may not be easy to just go ahead and love and forgive and forget, forgive and put it under the blood and love. But our love, it must be active and intentional. It must be worked on and worked out. And so we have to be intentional about our love. We have to be active with our love. We have to walk in it. Even when you got to make yourself walk in it. You got to read the scripture over and over and over and over again. What did God say about love? What did His word say about love? What did He tell me about the fruit of the Spirit? What did He tell me that love looks like? What it acts like? What it appears to be? How it operates? How it functions? You got to saturate yourself in the word of God until love becomes just who you are.
until love becomes active in your life. So we want to ask you today, what are you made of? What are you made of? Because we know in the body of Christ that many, if not most, want everyone to know that they are made up of the anointing. But the Bible says in the book of Matthew that there are going to be those that come to him, huh? And say, but we did this work in your name. We healed. We worked miracles. We did all of these great wonders in your name. But yet and still, he is going to tell them to depart from him. For he called them workers of iniquity. Why? Because love must be the foundation upon which everything else is built. Love must be the foundation. What is love? Again, love is God. And God in Christ is the foundation of our salvation. He is the foundation of our works. He is the foundation of our building. He is the foundation of our anointing. He is the foundation upon everything that we do. And if Christ is the foundation upon everything that we do, then love is the foundation. Because the foundation has to be right. It has to be strong enough to hold the weight that is placed on top of it. That's why they make the foundation sturdy when they're building a house. That is why they make sure they till the ground and they etch anything in the soil that should not be there. Rocks and all types of things that can unlevel and cause the ground not to be leveled out before they begin to build. They got to make sure the soil is right. They got to make sure the ground is right. They got to make sure it is leveled properly. And so that when they begin to build the foundation, that what they place on top of the foundation, it is not faulty, it is not crooked, it is going to be able to stand the storm and the rain and the winds that blow and the tornadoes and the hurricanes. And this is why they make sure that the foundation is right. They make sure that the foundation is secure, that it don't have any holes in it. That when the rain comes, that a flood, that the water will come and flood the basement and flood the house. They gotta make sure the foundation is perfect, because they understand as the builder that whatever they are building on top of the foundation must be strong enough to carry the weight that is put on top of it. And so our foundation must be Christ upon everything that we do and for God. Everything that we do in the earth, it must be built upon the foundation of Christ, which is love, so that everything else that we are building on top of it, it can withstand the test of time. It can withstand times of sadness, times of mourning, times of depression, times of trials, times of lack, times of confusion, times of heartache, times of pain, times of weeping, times that we are going through the storm and the rain, times when you feel like you're all by yourself, time when your marriage is not right, time when your children may not be acting right. When your foundation is sturdy, it doesn't matter what the enemy, what weight the enemy placed on top of it. Oh, God, it can stand. It can stand. It can stand when ministry seems like it's not going nowhere, because it's built upon Christ. It's built upon the solid rock, Jesus. It's built upon the love of God. It's able to stand. Our ministering must be built upon love. Our serving must be built upon love. Our giving must be built upon love. How we raise our children must be built upon love. How we exercise in the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit must be through love. So can you be identified in the earth by your DNA that you have been born of the Spirit, that you came from God, that you are his child? Can you, do you possess the DNA of God, which is love? So the Bible says, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Other words, if I don't have love, I can speak with all the tongues that there is in the heavenlies, in the spirit. He says, but it will just be noise. It will just be a sounding brass. It will just be a loud noise without love. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, you can prophesy so accurate, oh God, and you can understand all mysteries and revelation, and you can have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and you can have all faith that you can remove mountains. You can speak to the mountain and it moves. And he says, but if you don't have love, it is nothing. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, we got to begin to understand how important love is. God, the system of God operates because of love. Grace and mercy. Grace is on the left and mercy is on the right because of God's love. God promised he made a new covenant with us because of love. Jesus fulfilled the covenant because of love. He sacrificed. He took the nails in his hands and in his feet, the piercing in his side, the beating all night because of love. This is what Christ took for us. Oh, but he suffered, he bled, and he died because it was love. He says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you can work until your fingers are raw. You can stand outside 24/7 feeding the poor. He said, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. He says, but he, and then he begins to say, listen, we can do all of these things. People, I hate to say it, but there have been preachers in the body of Christ that can preach unto the wall sweat. And will go home and beat their wife. And will go home and abuse their children. Because there is no love. Love is not the driving force. The gift is the driving force. And God is saying today, we know everybody want to be gifted. We know everybody want to be anointed. But gifts are given, but fruit is grown. And so he is coming back not to look for your gift. He's coming back to look for what you have produced from him out of his DNA, out of his love. He is coming back to look at your fruit, to examine. That's why the Bible, it does not say that Jesus is going to prune your gift. He says, I'm pruning your fruit that you're able to produce more fruit. He didn't say, I'm going to prune your gift because gifts and callings come without repentance. He give you something, but he don't take it back. And he may have left you, but yet and still, you can still operate in the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. That is what he's coming to examine. Verse 4 says, charity. Now it goes to tell us what charity is. He says, charity, which is love, it suffers long. It can, other words, it can endure evil. It can endure injury. It can endure indignation. It can endure these things without the desire for revenge. It is able to be stretched. It exercises patience. When you are long suffering, it is able to go the extra mile. The one that many others don't want to do, don't want to go because it's long suffering. He says, love is kind. It's kind. It is kind. It is courteous. It is respectful. It shows goodwill towards men. It looks for opportunity to do good and not evil. Love is kind to our brethren. It is kind. It is generous. It doesn't sit to look to do wrong, but it seeks opportunities to do what is right and what is righteous before God. Love vaunts not itself. Other words, love, It is not puffed up. It's not going around. Love, it subdues pride and vainglory. When you operate in love, it arrests pride and vainglory. It is not self-conceited or waste time trying to portray a false image. Love isn't puffed up. It esteems others more than ourselves. And love says, I want to see you succeed. I want to see my sister and my brother make it. Even if they make it before I do, I still want to see them succeed. I'm not going to have the crab mentality trying to pull you down that I can beat you to the top. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us. Love is not arrogant. It does not seek to honor itself. It seeks to honor others more than ourselves, esteeming our brethren, looking to raise the value of others, letting them know that God loved them so much that they have value in their lives, trying to deposit goodness and esteem in the lives of others. He says, love seeks not her. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It isn't distasteful to others. It doesn't cross the boundaries of decency. It isn't vile. It doesn't seek to embarrass or shame others. It is courteous. It has goodwill towards others. Love minds and tends to the heart of others. It thinks about the heart of others. It thinks about tending to the heart of others and not just our own. Love, it seeks not her own. Love isn't selfish. It isn't easily provoked. It isn't, it says, then it goes on to say, it is not easily provoked. It is not embittered by insults or abuse or injury. It thinks no evil. It's not just sitting around thinking about what I can do to harm someone. It isn't easily provoked. It is not motivated to do harm or wrong by someone else's action. It does not seek to retaliate because I've been hurt. I'm not looking to get you back. I'm not scheming and plotting behind the scenes. How can I retaliate because of what you did to me? My actions towards you are not motivated by your actions towards me. That is the DNA of God, love. I'm not trying to look for a way to get you back because you hurt me. I'm not looking to out-talk you. I'm not looking to embarrass you because you hurt me. God, help us to love. Love, verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. I'm not rejoicing in the fall of my sister and brother. I'm not plotting their demise. I'm not suspicious without proof of evidence that I should be. Sometimes we are suspicious of people without proof. We have no evidence of what we are thinking about them. We have no evidence of what we are feeling about them. But yet and still, sometimes if we allow ourselves to sit in the seat of our emotions will dictate how we think and view other peoples without evidence. You don't have no evidence why you should not like them. You just don't like them. You don't have no proof that they are disingenuous. You don't have no proof that they are not who they say they are. You just think so in your mind, or somebody else has whispered in your ear about your sister or your brother in Christ. And because someone has planted the seed of discord, now you eyes are suspicious without evidence. You don't have no proof. You just went on what somebody else told you. You just went on your own feelings. You just went on the whisperings of the voice of the devil. Oh, come on now. I'm not accusatory without evidence. We can't be accusatory without evidence. Not looking for a reason. Looking for a reason to dislike our sister and brother. Looking for the reason to be separated from one another. Looking for a reason to not fellowship with one another. That is the spirit of Satan. the four squares and we assemblies of God. And so we have allowed religion to divide us, and God is saying, that is not my DNA. Oh. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It rejoices in God's truth. It bears all things. It's not complaining. Sometimes you just got to catch yourself. Sometimes you got to seal up your lips when your lips want to say things that is contrary to what God has already declared in his word concerning you. Sometimes I got to catch myself. Sometimes I got to bring my thoughts under subjection when things may not be looking how I think they ought to or how I want them to appear to be or look. I got to remember what the word says. I got to call to remembrance. Oh, God, we are in a time where you're going to have to know his word. You're going to have to saturate yourself in his word, because the enemy, he don't want you to see what God has already done. He wants you to see where you've been, but not where God says you're going. He wants you to look at your past and your failures and your mistakes and your experiences of rejection and failure and disappointment, but he don't want you to see the glory of God over your life. He don't want you to see that God has a good plan. Oh, Jeremiah said a plan of hope, a plan of good, not of evil, a plan with an expected end. The devil don't want us to know what God has already done, and so he put all of these things to confuse us, to make us think that God has forgotten us, to make us think that God isn't listening, to make us think that God does not really love us. But God says, if you carry my DNA, you got to remember the sacrifice that I gave you. I gave you my son. There was no greater sacrifice than a man that I laid down his life for his friend. That's what the word says. There is no greater sacrifice. Jesus didn't have to die. He didn't do no sin. It was us that sinned. It was them that sinned. We sinned. We rejected him. We lied. We persecuted. We fornicated. We committed adultery. We scandalized. We cheated on our taxes, and we did things. No, Christ never did any wrong, but yet and still he took the penalty of sin. And he said, how much more can I show you that I love you? How much more can I show you that I am for you? How much more can I show you that I have a good plan for your life if you follow my blueprint? How much more can I show you that I want to prosper you even as your soul prosper? What more do I have to do than to die and suffer for you? Oh, God, help us, Lord. He says, love bears all things. Love don't sin and just complain. Just look for stuff to complain about. Complain, complain, complain. This ain't right, that ain't right. No, love said bears all things with the praise. Huh? Sometimes you gotta keep a praise on your tongue, because the enemy desires to steal your praise. He wanna snatch worship out of your heart. He wants you to look at everything else that's going on around you and inside of you and in your home and in your, but you got to change your atmosphere. Fill your house with praise. Fill your spirit with worship. Keep praise in your mouth. Recount the things of God. Declare the word of the Lord. Say, I know that God loves me because he gave Jesus for me, for me, for me. I don't have to look at what he did for the world. Remember what he did for you. For you. For you. It says that believes all things. Love believes all things. It takes the kindest view of people. It don't just automatically look at people and just put them in a place. And sometimes our past experiences can dictate our present experiences. In other words, love will keep you from treating people based upon now, but it will cause you to treat people based upon your past hurts and your past experiences. It'll cause you to compartmentalize people's deeds based on your past wounds, based upon the wounds that you have experienced from others. Don't make someone guilty without a trial and evidence and a conviction that they should be guilty of what you have charged them of. He said, love believes all things and hopes all things and and it endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they should fail. Whether there be tongues, verse 8, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. He says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now verse 13 says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest, what's greater than faith? Love. What's greater than hope? Love. He said, abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now I'm closing on five more minutes, and I'll be done. I'm closing on John. John the 13th chapter, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Other words, it's going, he said, I'm taking you beyond the old commandment, through the law. I'm taking you beyond that. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I. You have the DNA of God, so now you got to love like him. I got to love like him because I carry his DNA. He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, verse 35, we need to take account of this and keep this in your heart. He says, by this, we're talking about love. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. He didn't say by your gift, that men shall know you are my disciples. I know that's what we think. I know that's what, when we lay hands on people and they just fall out all over the place, we think that's how people know that we belong to Jesus. I know when we lay hands and people get healed and people get delivered, that we think that is the identifiable mark that says that you belong to the Lord. But he says, he didn't say by your gifts. He didn't say by your anointing. He didn't say by how prolific you preach, how great, how charismatic you are. He didn't say by your tongue. He didn't say by your shout. He didn't say by your giving. He said by your love. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me, by how we love one another. And so we look today and we see, and we can ask ourselves this question going out. Why don't people know that we are his disciples? Is it because of the lack of love that we are giving one another? Because Jesus said, this is how the world will know. This is how men will know that you belong to me. See, we think it's our gift, but he said, no, baby, it's your fruit. It's the fruit of love. That's how they will know. It's not by how good you sing. It's not by any of that stuff. How good you dress. How much money you got in your bank. He said, no. He said, they will know that you belong to me by how ye love one another. And so as we close, remember, love, it is the DNA of God. God has commanded us to love one another. He didn't ask us to. He says, I give you a new commandment. I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you, I'm commanding you to love one another. And so we have to saturate ourselves in the word of God, that we can really begin to love one another, know what love really means, what it looks like, and know that the love of God is genuine. It's not all of this fake stuff that we see going around in the body of Christ. You know, where we act like we love one another, but we really don't love one another. And so that's why you see people just going here and going there. And one minute, you my spiritual mother, and I'm your spiritual daughter, or I'm your spiritual mother, you my spiritual daughter, and all these spiritual children. And then next year, they don't even talk to one another. Huh? That's fraudulent love. That's not love. I love my mother. We may have disagreements, but we've never not talked to one another. Why? Because I love my mother, and my mother loved me. I was born of her, and she loves her child. She loves her children. And so God wants us to have genuine love, where I can love you beyond everything that may go on in our lives. I may not talk to you every day, but we got to love one another. We got to bear one another's burdens. I'll pray for one another. Seek one another. I'll seek to do good by one another. We are in a point in time where we need one another. The church is going to need one another. Because persecution is coming in a greater measure against the church. Greater things are coming to buffet the work of God, and we are going to need to stand together, but it must be glued together by the DNA of God, which is love. God bless you all.
Glory, glory, glory to God. What a powerful word. I believe what stood out for me, my God, today, Queen Ann Sheely, my sister, my God, today, the gifts are given, but the fruit is grown. And what type of fruit are you bearing? What type of fruit am I bearing? This is certainly a word for self-examination. For those that are here, it is not by any accident that you are receiving this word on today by none other than my sister Queen. Amen. And Chile, in the name of Jesus. Something else you said is that it is the love of God, this dispensation that we are walking in, and is certainly a mandate for us to exercise and allow the Holy Spirit. Not our charisma, not our titles, I'm injecting, amen, but the Holy Spirit to operate in us so that the fruit of the Spirit will be seen amongst men. I believe it is a cry here in this land. We have those who have not had a chance to even hear the gospel yet, or those that we are called to, and they are looking for authenticity. They are looking for the real sons and daughters of God to manifest the glory of God. Not our platforms, my God, today, not our titles, not our charisma, but truly walking in the fruit. Certainly, this is a word that I'm taking to heart. Love is the driving force of the fruit, no doubt about that. And if there's nothing else you have heard, listen. Remember what the woman of God said, that it is now the hour for you and I. You need to walk this thing out for real, genuinely, not the pretension. Not the fakeness in the name of Jesus, but remember what he did for you. And as a result of what he did, worship him. Saturate yourselves in the word. Spend time in his presence. Love one another and let go of the past wounds and the trauma and live. We must live and be love. Amen. Be love. That means that in him we're living and moving and having our being. Be love, because he is love. And people will only know that we are his disciples if we love one another. Love is the DNA of God. And genuine love will allow us to not abort our spiritual children. It will not allow us to tear down one another. It will not allow us to walk in jealousy or dissension or divisiveness. In the name of Jesus, but truly walk in the love of God that is kind, that is good, that does not seek its own in the name of Jesus, that does not seek out to embarrass one another, but it is intended to lift, to gather around one another when one has fallen in the name of Jesus, or there is a weakness or a deficiency, but certainly not to tear up relationships, not to tear down people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, woman of God, for that word. It is a powerful word indeed. Makes me want to just go back and listen to this replay because there was so much poured out by the Holy Spirit as he used you in this hour in the name of Jesus. We cannot be workers of iniquity. We cannot be crossing the barriers of indecency or seeking our own or provoking one another, or you said being bitter, oh my God, today, or seeking evil or operating in a spirit of retaliation. No, it is, time is shorter than we can possibly imagine. That is the spirit of Satan, and that certainly is not the DNA of our Father, in the name of Jesus. So thank you again so much for your obedience in releasing this word. I honor you and the man of God, amen, Apostle Chile, and the work that you are doing in the field for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Keep your hands to the plow. I know that we're not looking back, Queen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. I'm going to ask you now in Jesus' name if you would just give a closing prayer in concert to the poor that you have released in this platform, in this space. I call it my virtual tabernacle in the name of Jesus called Shabbat Saturday. For those that are here on the line in the name of Jesus that may be contending with some things, that they are not walking in line with the word of God, or they're not walking and bearing the fruit that he's calling us to bear in this season. Woman of God, the mic is yours.
Amen. Again, as we just give the Lord praise and honor and glory, amen, for his word on today, and we just thank him and worship him and praise him just for being who he are. And thank you again, Apostle Westbrook and Alation Radio. Just continue to allow the Lord to use you in whatever way that he deems necessary and needful in this hour to do so. And so, Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for those that have tuned in to hear what you wanted to say to them. Father, help us, Father, as we listen to the Holy Spirit on this afternoon. Help us to take account, Father, and each of us just examine our hearts and continue to stay, allow the fruit that you have given unto us through the Holy Spirit to grow, Father, and to be pruned by you, Father, and that our love can be exemplified in the earth. Help us, Father, in every area on the inside of us that we are weak in our love walk. Help us, Father, strengthen our love walk. Help us to receive all of your love. God, help us to really get a revelation of, ooh, God, what you did for us on Calvary's cross. If we can only get a real revelation, oh, God, and understand, oh, God, and more of a greater depth, a revelation of what Jesus suffered for us, then we can know and really feel your love, oh God. And then as we feel your love, as you saturate your love within our hearts, then we can begin to see that you not only love us that way, but you love the brethren that way. Oh God, and even those when we are in disagreement and things are faulty, you still love each of us and still call us to love one another. Help us, oh God, to be saturated with your love by sitting in your presence. This is how we receive more of your love. We cannot receive the love of the Father being separated from him. If there is no fellowship, if there is no worship, he cannot pour into us. Ah, we got to pour into us in order for him to fill us up with his love, with his care, with his kindness, and that we can feel the tender mercies of our Father, even as we go through different things, oh, Father. So we thank you, Father, for helping us, for renewing our mind, that we can have the mind of Christ. Oh, God, we ask, Father, that you put your seek on the inside of us, that we will have a desire to seek you even the more, that we will have a hunger, a taste for righteousness, Father, in any area of our life where we don't have a taste of righteousness, but a taste for sin, a taste for evil, a taste for unrighteousness. Oh, God, snatch it out of us, oh, God.
God, change our taste buds, that we will want to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, God, that we will want to taste the goodness of the Lord. Ah, David said, I shall see the goodness of the Lord. Wow, in the land of the living. Help us, oh, God, to want to see your goodness in the land of the living. And so, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you on today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, my sisters and brother, and may he alone give you peace. God bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, woman of God, for that word. We bless the Lord for you. I'm going to just ask and say thank you again. I was on mute there for a moment. Thank you for stopping by, people of God. Thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim and the Elation Radio family. Thank you, iHeart and Spricker and YouTube. Amen for this platform. And you, God's people, we pray the Lord will continue to bless you and continue to enlarge your borders and territories in Jesus' name. Queen, my sister, Queen Ann Cheely, please give people information where they can reach you if they're interested in connecting with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that she is on Facebook, and you can reach her at Ann Cheely. In the name of Jesus and Chile, in Jesus' name. And there you can get her contact information of how to reach the worship center called Ecclesia in Jesus' name. Again, I want to say thank you to each and everyone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim, for just staying connected with me and letting me know what's going on and for this platform. I am so honored. Thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us this Shabbat Saturday. And we bless the Lord for you again, my sister Queen Ann Cheely. May the Lord continue to watch over you and keep you in all of your ways as you do the work, hallelujah, that he has placed in your hand for his kingdom, in Jesus' name. We're going to be back next Saturday at 3 p.m., amen, Eastern Standard Time, for another Shabbat Saturday at this great station, Elation Radio. So again, thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim, our producer, for your example and your lion's heart. May the Lord God continue to use you, great woman of God. Now please close us out. Shalom, everyone.
She had a dream that she could do it. Somehow she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind, she was so focused. Doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself, believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Oh, don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't. That you can when you can. She was diagnosed with cancer. Going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could. Getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself, believe in yourself. in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Believe in yourself.